Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Felicia.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff. And you know what's really spooky? Lauren and I just spent, I don't know, a solid 20 minutes venting about household chores and how it's like you just have to keep doing those chores every single day until you die.
Forever.
Forever.
It's and almost,
cooking things to eat them.
It really is like eating healthy to me, or like getting fit, where it's just like, I thought I could do it and then be done.
Yes. Yes. It's like, why is there no finished? Like, I just spent 3 days deep cleaning, decluttering my house. And I look around, it's not done, because it'll never be done.
Never.
Ever. No matter what I do, there will always be more. And it's just not right. It's just not right.
And that's...
there's no finish line.
Unsettling and sinister.
And that's sinister.
Wait. Oh, man. I have a scary story. I forgot that happened to me. Yes.
Is this a different... okay, go ahead. What is it? I'm scared.
Totally different. It just happened. I actually just gave myself chills talking about it.
I'm scared. Your face is scared. Sorry,
I'm really scared. Okay, so there was a Christmas bow in our elevator that for at least 3 days, we're like joking about this bow. Willow, James's daughter, is with us. We're joking with Willow. At some point,
about a literal crisp, like a bow that you tie.
Yes, like one of those just like little, like you put on top of a present, sticky bows.
Oh, a sticky bow. Yeah.
Sticky bow. So James at one point, like teasing, puts it on the emergency button that you can press in the elevator.
No.
Which is hilarious because Willow just is always like, don't touch it. Don't touch the emergency button. We're going to get in trouble. He puts it on it very gently. We leave. We, at some point after that, I think like later that day, I go out to walk Rufus. So like I turn around, I lock my door. Everything's normal. I walk Rufus for maybe 10 minutes. Come back upstairs, the Christmas bow from the elevator is on our front door.
No!
I go in, I say, haha, James, did you put the Christmas bow from the elevator on our door? And he goes, no. And we do not know how that happened, why we have been targeted.
Oh. I wonder if it was like someone's from security that has like the security cameras and was like, let's freak some people out. No, it's wrong on Christmas. It's not even spooky season.
I really don't know what to think about it. I will say
You're cursed now.
I will say I took the bow and I threw it into the trash can, which maybe was a bad move. I don't know.
You should have set it on fire and thrown it out the window.
Said somebody that we told this story was like, you should have put it on someone else's door, then they would be marked. But we are the first door that you would come to if you take a right out of the elevator, so I'm like, maybe it's totally happenstance, maybe it's totally random.
I doubt it. It's too specific.
Think someone's stalking me?
or James.
Or James, that's true.
He's the one that did it. You didn't touch that bow.
It's true. I'm innocent.
Yeah, you're innocent. You're just an innocent bystander.
So because we are both crazy, and also James has gotten super into those Idaho murders that happened recently.
Oh my God, they're seen so all this. Scary. Yes, it's
I can't think about it. They're so scary.
So scary. I think they did I think they arrested someone. Yeah.
They did arrest someone. Who is like a criminal psychology major. And
yes.
Sounds super,
oh my God. Yeah. Yes. So if y'all don't know what we're talking about, in Idaho, there was four college students stabbed, murdered in their college house. Was it November?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And they couldn't figure out who did it. It was super scary. And they left two people alive in the basement, but we think maybe because they didn't know they were down there. And yeah, the person they arrested is like a criminal psychology major that's like obsessed with true crime. And that's just like very unsettling.
I hate it.
Yeah. So super scary.
I've been trying to actually not like look into it or listen to it too much because it freaks me out a lot.
Very graphic.
But because of that, James is really on edge right now. So we got a door. We got one of those cameras that you put on your door.
Oh man!
We want to catch the bow person. You know what's
gonna happen now? The bow person's gonna put a bow on the camera so you can't see.
Oh no!
That's hilarious.
Anyway, that's my scary story this week.
I love it. That was so good. I can't believe so many scary things keep happening to you.
Is something wrong with me?
I don't know. I don't know. You've been marked.
I think I have. I'm going to say I've been marked with the Christmas spirit.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Okay. Do you have some recommendations?
That's what I was going to say. I didn't give a lot of thought to this until this very moment, but I will tell you, I watched a movie last night that is not a horror movie and it's from 2018. But it was so good. It was called Leave No Trace, and it's on Netflix. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I'm looking it up now.
Okay. So it was recommended to be on Netflix. I was like kind of bored last night. I was like, I want to actually watch a movie. And I looked it up and it had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, what is this? What is this? Is this fake? It's about a girl and her father that kind of live off grid in this big park in Oregon, and they're trying to like live their lifestyle, but they get like taken in by social services because like it's like illegal to live in this park basically, and it's like their story of like the different places they have to go in the system and through other people. And like their relationship, and like because the movie starts out, they're like actually really happy with how they live. Mm-hmm. And then they're like forced to live another way. And it's, I don't know.
A little Captain Fantastic vibes then.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But it's kind of like a slow, quiet movie. And this is going to sound like so dramatic. But yeah, I was so at TJ Maxx last week. this is going somewhere. I bought, one of those like embroidery kits literally because it was on sale. Yeah, it was on sale. I was like, I love puzzles and I feel like maybe this would be like kind of like doing a puzzle. I just like I need something to do with my hands that's not my phone. Yep.
I agree.
But
me too. Yeah.
So I was like, I had like some of that left to do. And so I just turned on this movie. I'm doing my freaking needlepoint embroidery mushrooms and leaves. And watching this movie, and I was like, this is so joyful right now. It was so good. So that's my recommendation. And I think it deserves 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was like actually that good. So yeah.
That's amazing. It's the girl from Last Night in Soho.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah.
She's so good.
Which surprises me because she's so young in this movie to me. But I'm like 2018, but I guess that was like 5 years ago. But like, I don't know. But yeah, she is. Same girl.
Oh, I love that. I will definitely check it out. So I have two to recommend. Neither of them are horror, really. But one is The Banshees of Inisherin. I think that's how you say that.
Oh,
so
one with, that sounds
it's
familiar.
Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson from Harry Potter. It's like very, very Irish movie. It's the one where like they basically just like out of nowhere, he stops wanting to be friends with him. It's like two like guys in this Irish small town.
It's directed by Martin McDonagh.
Yes.
Oh my god, the playwright.
Yes.
Okay, because my brain when you said that, the reason I thought I knew is because Lieutenant of Inishmore.
Oh yeah.
So that's the same thing, or The Cripple of Inishmore, which is the other one.
Yes.
But he directed this. That's so interesting. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not quite as I thought it was maybe going to be like a little bit more unsettling or creepy.
His
skin
is actually very dark.
Yeah. Typically. It's more like, I don't know, like kind of like a quiet movie. They don't like, basically he says like, if you ever like talk to me again, I'm going to chop off my finger. And he's this like amazing violin player. And I won't give away too much more than that, but like it is dark-ish, but it's not like as dark as you would think based on that.
Oh, okay. If so that makes there's sense. Like there so there's comedy. It's like dark yes. com- like a black comedy, maybe.
Yes. No. Definitely dark comedy. And it's like okay. a, you know, it feels kind of like an A24 movie, sort of.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, that kind of vibe.
Interesting.
And then on the flip side, I went and saw the new Avatar movie.
Oh, what? How was it?
I had a great time. It is
oh good.
17 hours too long.
Oh, but of course.
We saw it in this like new Cinemark movie concept where the walls are screens. It's almost like IMAX. It's
That's pretty fun. Cool. That's very
so
fun.
We went and saw that and it's very long, but I like the second it started, I was just like, oh, it's so beautiful. like
That's great.
I felt yeah. the same way with the original Avatar where I'm like, yeah. is this like the best screenplay or yeah. everything else but I've ever seen?
No. The visuals are just beautiful.
Yeah. And they still, I did cry at one point. So still got me.
Did you see that thing where Edie Falco thought the movie came out years ago and thought it flopped? I had no idea it was being released.
Stop.
Did you see that? No, she was in an interview. They were like, she's like, yeah. It's funny that I'm doing this press stuff right now because I thought this movie came out years ago and I just assumed it flopped because I didn't hear anything about it. What?
Because I guess her part was filmed so long ago.
I guess, yes. Yeah, I guess so.
She was just like, oh, I guess.
Like four or five years ago. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's crazy. So,
yeah. That's crazy.
But it's yeah. definitely like if you want to, I don't know, it also like kind of transports you back to wherever you were in 2009, I feel.
Wow.
Or whenever the last High Avatar school. Came out. When was
the
that?
The Regal Cinema in Frederick, Maryland.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Is it that long ago? It was, but right? Yeah. Yeah. 2009. Yeah.
Wow. Very good.
Amazing.
Excellent. Let's do it.
I go first, right?
Yes. Take us away.
Okay. I'm going back to our creepy sort of folklore monster kind of category. And I am talking about the Penangolan. Yes.
Penangolan.
Penangolan.
Feels like a fake word, but...
It is not a fake word, but it's basically this creature that's part of the vampire family, sort of.
Oh.
It is nocturnal, and it comes from Malaysian folklore. So first I'll just say it is this creature that appears as a normal, oftentimes very beautiful young woman during the day, and then when night comes, her true form comes out. So the name comes from the word tangle, which means to remove or take off, which is fitting because that is exactly what happens to her at night, basically. So the woman's head detaches itself from the body.
Oh, and
then the head flies around with its trailing organs still intact.
What? The head flies around with organs, but no body.
No body.
Just the organs.
Just a floating woman head with organs hanging out.
What? I can't wait to see an image of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The images are really good.
Wow.
And from afar, apparently, it can look like a ball of light. So it gets into the, you know, like, I feel like when people see orbs or any of that.
They thought Glinda the Good Witch was on her way, and then it was a seven head.
I can't wait for you to see this image because it's even better imagining that as Glinda coming down.
I can't wait.
But she does have blood red eyes, long fangs, scary looking. So how are they created, you might ask? So the folklore is that they are mortal women who practice black magic. And there's a lot of different like legends behind how they could be created. One is that a woman must meditate during a ritual bath in vinegar, where you would submerge your whole body and leave your head out of the vinegar. And it also is like something that you have to like keep up. So the creature would have to like regularly soak its organs in vinegar to make the entry back into its body easier. Horrifying.
Weird.
So that's one of the telltale signs on like how to know if you are meeting a Penangolin is if they smell like vinegar. Sometimes they'll even smell like vinegar in the daytime as a woman.
I'm drinking a kombucha right now. Isn't that like vinegar? I don't know.
Does it smell like vinegar?
I don't know. What is kombucha again?
Tea?
It's just fermented. It doesn't matter. Live culture.
I'm impressed that you're drinking it. It tastes so gross to me.
I'm like, this is like me attempting to be healthy in 2023. It's just one single kombucha.
New year, also, new
don't
me.
Don't people use vinegar to clean stuff?
Yes.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that's
They're very
part of
clean.
It.
They're very clean. They're very clean. Vampire witches.
Exactly. So some other legends about how they are or how they were created. There's one story. I really like this one. There's one story that this woman was taking a ritual bath in a tub that once held vinegar. She was meditating. A man entered the room, which startled her. And the woman was so shocked that she jerked her head up to look at him, and it severed her head from her body, pulling her organs out of the neck opening. And then she was so furious with him for doing this that she rose up and attacked him. So
don't
I like
startle
that one.
A woman. Don't do Especially it. Announce yourself.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
But there are other ones that talk about, like, you know, women making pacts with demons. And, you know, maybe it wasn't even – it's basically like they decided to make a pact to get some sort of supernatural powers. And in this particular story, the pact is that she would not eat meat for 40 days. But then, you know, the demon had made this, like, incredible feast. She was tempted by it. She ate the meat. And this meant that she broke the pact and was cursed forever to live as this creepy creature.
Hmm.
This one I also like a lot. This one is that she was a mortal woman, but was very ugly. And because of this, men avoided her. So she was very lonely and alone and just grew angry and jealous of married women with children. So they became the focus of, you know, her rage. So she went on a rampage murdering innocent pregnant women because they had the life that she wanted. And then when she was finally captured, the villagers hung her neck from a tree and tied her legs – this is brutal – to a raging bull.
Whoa!
So they released the bull, and the force from it running snapped her neck away from her body, pulled out her organs. And they left the head to hang overnight as kind of a reminder to everyone that this was, you know, punishment if you murder people. And then when they awoke, the head was gone. And so this was like the, you know, the start of this crazy demon creature.
I hope nobody is having lunch right now while they're listening to this podcast.
Brutal. I mean, you really shouldn't need anything when you listen to our podcast. Just in people case. Should know that
Just
by
in
now.
Case.
So probably you can tell from these stories, but, you know, some of her most frequent victims are typically pregnant women and young children, a lot of people that are just sleeping at night. And in the Malaysian folklore stories, the Penangolin would hide, like, under the, like, slats of the house and then would wait until, you know, pregnant women went to sleep. And then would use its long, invisible tongue to lap up the blood of the new mother after she gives birth.
No! That is so icky. That is worse. That's the worst thing you've said.
An invisible tongue.
The blood of someone that just gave birth.
Yes.
That is really – that's
– And if this creature feeds on your blood, you will contract a wasting disease – that will just basically cause you to, you know, waste away until you die.
Wow.
And even if this creature is not successful in actually lapping up your blood, anyone who is brushed by her organs will suffer painful open sores that will never heal unless you consult with a shaman. Gross.
Man.
And then sometimes they will even eat newborns completely, just like eat them whole.
Like a snake.
Supposedly.
But where does it go? Oh, wait. I guess there's a stomach.
She has her stomach. Yeah. I get at some point I figured out what it all is. Apparently, there's at least lungs, stomach, and intestines floating
okay.
with it.
Okay. So she can at least have dinner. Okay.
She can at least have a little meal and keep going.
A little newborn. Oh, God. It's horrible.
Just a snack. So this I also thought was a cool part of this. So, you know, clearly interest in pregnant women and babies. So people believe that sometimes they would work as midwives during the day in order to get closer to pregnant women, figure out, you know, where their next meal is coming from. And so folklore says to be very careful about selecting a midwife. And obviously, if she smells of vinegar, you know, throw her out immediately. So there are some other ways you can protect yourself. The most common way is to scatter there's this plant called mengkuang, I think. And they have these like thorny leaves. So you can either, you know, put the thorns like on your door or on your windows, and those thorns will hit the lungs, stomach, or intestines and prevent the creature from coming in. And people would commonly do this when a woman had just given birth or was about to give birth as protection. And then another technique that just seems so intense to me is that people would also glue shards of glass to the top of their walls around a house so that I think like if it's floating through the air, it would be hit by the glass. And then another thing people suggest is as an extra precaution, pregnant women should keep scissors under their pillows so that if a creature comes, they can use the scissors. Or I think also the penanglin is scared of scissors as well, so it might be like less likely to come attack you. And then if you're like me, you're probably already kind of thought about this, but obviously as this head detaches, it's going about, the body is left vulnerable. So you can permanently destroy one of these creatures. This is kind of graphic too, by either pouring pieces of broken glass into the neck cavity. So then when it tries to come reattach, all of its organs will be, you know, hit by that broken glass. Or you can do the I just always think of Twilight, even though I'm sure it's so many other vampire movies, but you can also cremate the body or, you know, basically just burn the body.
Set it on fire. Yeah.
Set it on fire, and then you can't, you know, the head can't reattach to the body, and so it will eventually die. And then you also, I thought this was hilarious, another non-lethal way, so like a way that you could get rid of this creature or, you know, hurt it, I guess, without killing it, is that you could turn over the body if you found it so that when it reattaches, the head is now on backwards and they couldn't get away with being in the real world as a human.
Very tricky. Very tricky.
So I like that one, a little bit more comedic to round it out.
Yeah.
But there are several other countries in Southeast Asia that have other terms for a very similar kind of monster. I won't go into them because there's like, I don't know, there was like five or six when I was looking at it. But interestingly enough, like how she looks and her mostly going after pregnant women remains consistent in all these stories. And that's always just crazy to me, where it feels like this one, I mean, we talk about this all the time, where it's like, you know, something, there has to be like something at the root of this, I feel, that's like,
it can be spread this so
many
far.
People.
Yeah. And so what was the country of origin? Did you say?
It's Malaysia. Like,
Malaysia. Okay.
Yeah. So Southeast Asia, they have all these different like creatures similar to this. And especially with it being like this crazy of a creature, I'm just like, I have no, you know, witches. It's like we can talk all day about like, you know, powerful women or anything else where they could have, you know, people being threatened by them. But I'm like, this image, I'm like, this I have no idea where this
specific
stemmed from.
Very specific.
Exactly. But she does also exist in some pop culture. So she was listed in the 1981 Dungeons and Dragons rulebook, which I think is cool. And she's also featured in a Hellboy comic. So she's out there a little bit, but I personally would love to see a horror movie with this creature.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it. The penanglin.
That's so great. I loved it. That, I mean, what a cool creature that I've never even considered that image before in my life.
never. And so I will definitely post some crazy pictures on our Instagram so you can take a look.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Dungeons and Dragons because that can sort of lead us into mine. But today I'm talking about goblins.
Yeah.
Also make an appearance in Dungeons and Dragons, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, et cetera, et cetera. But the reason I chose this is because the 2022 Word of the Year by Oxford, like Oxford Dictionary, is goblin mode.
What?
Yeah, so every year Oxford does a Word of the Year, and it's voted on by the public. And
wow.
Goblin mode got 93% of the votes this year, which is like crazy. And the definition, I mean, if you're on social media, I'm sure you've seen this phrase, but the slang term is defined as a type of behavior which is unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, or greedy, typically in a way that rejects social norms or expectations. If you want to say it in a sentence, between Christmas and New Year's, I am in goblin mode.
I love it. I think we were, or at least I was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still am, probably. But, yeah, so I've definitely seen that term on social media. And apparently, it first surfaced in, like, 2009 on, like, Twitter or something. But it went viral in 2022, and that's why I'm...
Wow, 2009.
I know. Isn't that weird? But it didn't catch on until this past year. But, yeah. So I'm going to talk about a few different types of goblins in specifically European folklore, because that's where they sort of originated. But the goblins, I mean, we all might think of something slightly different, but I think we're mostly thinking about a small little creature with like pointy ears that is like very mischievous. And some other creatures similar to goblins are like, you know, leprechauns and dwarves and gnomes and things like that. So goblins started coming into stories around the Middle Ages, and they're really popular in like England, Scottish, Irish folklore particularly. So the first type of goblin I want to talk about is called a red cap. And this is a type of goblin that was said to inhabit ruined castles along the Anglo-Scottish border, and particularly in castles where very wicked, scary, bad, bloody things happened. And he was known for killing people and then dipping his hat in the blood, his little cap, and then wearing it.
What?
Which also makes me think about gnomes very differently.
Yes, agreed. They're little hats.
Yes. And these red caps in particular are said they're like short, thick-set, elf-looking creatures with prominent teeth, skinny fingers with talons like eagles, large eyes that are red, grizzly hair, and a pike staff, which is like, it's just a giant staff that they're holding over their shoulder. Like in the Middle Ages, you'd be going into battle with, basically. And then some of these things are funny. I don't know why. It's just that the imagery of a small, tiny creature doing these things, it's like Rumpelstiltskin. Do you know what I mean? It's like somehow it becomes slightly funny because they're small. So this says, when travelers take refuge in his lair, so like an abandoned castle, he would fling huge stones at them. And if he kills them, he would soak his cap in their blood. He is unaffected by human strength, which I'm like, what does that mean? Like, you can't kick him across the room, I guess.
I guess so.
Guess that. But can be driven away by words or scripture or like a crucifix. So I'm like a vampire?
Yeah, that does like, feel vampire-y.
I don't know what that is. But,
or a demon.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you do this, if you say like words from the Bible, hold up a crucifix, the red cap will yell, burst into flames, and leave behind a single large tooth.
The bursting into flames is good.
I know. That's nice. But then so, just yeah, so I don't know why. There's, like, the red cap has a lot of vampire qualities, but in, like, the imagery of, like, a tiny goblin elf creature.
Yes.
But, yeah, so that's the red caps. The next one reminds me more that we'll, I feel like we see more in, like, our pop culture, the hobgoblin.
Yes.
Have you heard this before?
Well, there's also a Spider-Man villain called the Hobgoblin.
Oh, you're right. Good call.
Green Goblin, Hobgoblin.
Yes, lots of Spider-Man goblins. We love the goblins. So a Hobgoblin is a household goblin that is actually considered typically helpful and also mischievous. So, for example, in A Midsummer Night's Dream, Puck is a Hobgoblin. So there are, like, human qualities to the Hobgoblin, but they love mischief. And yeah, and then also
and not murdering people.
And yeah, and they're not typically murdering. They're
dipping
they're
their caps pure. In there.
No, yeah. These blood. They're not necessarily sweet, but they're less violent. So they're small, little, hairy men, and they're associated with what are called brownies, which is a type of household goblin in Scottish folklore. They're mischievous, but they're also, they do, like, household chores. So this reminded me of, like, Dobby in Harry Potter. Yeah. So they're often found in human dwellings, doing odd jobs around the house while the family is asleep. Such chores, like small chores, like dusting, ironing, whatever.
This is what we need.
I know. You're right. It all comes back.
We just need a hobgoblin.
And the only compensation necessary for a hobgoblin is food. So, I would do it. So, definitely similar to a house elf in Harry Potter or something like that. The next one is called an Urkling. And this is coming back to, like, a more sinister type of elf. I keep using elf because, like, a lot of these are also, like, called elves. So, it's like they're similar kind of creatures. But this one's a little more sinister and is more, like, grim fairy tale-esque. So this is a goblin that lives in the woods and stalks children who stand in the woods too long and kills them with one single touch.
Oh, wow. Dun.
And it says, according to Jacob Grimm, the term originates with a Scandinavian word. It's called Elkong, which means king of the elves. Mm-hmm. But then I started looking on Jacob Grimm's Wikipedia page, and he is one of the editors of the Grimm fairy tales. But I didn't realize that, like, the Grimms, like, did a lot of other stuff too. There's, like, the Grimm's Law of Linguistics, like, him and his brother Wilhelm Grimm. They are the duo, the Brothers Grimm, but they actually did, like, a lot of different stuff in their lives. So I might cover them sometime, maybe next time. I don't know. But that they're
not
their
just
stuff seems
like, yeah, childhood stories.
yeah. Their lives seem pretty interesting. So I'm going to look into them another day. But anyway, so one of the most famous Urkling stories is called The Urkling's Daughter. And it's this Sir Olaf who is writing to get married, but gets distracted by the music of these elves and this elf maiden. And so this, Elver Kong's daughter, so the king of the elves' daughter, appears and invites Sir Olaf to dance with her. He refuses, and she's, like, offering him gifts and gold and all these things, and he's like, no. And so she gets so mad, she smacks him, sends him on his way deathly pale. Like, so he's, like, terrified. And then the next morning on the day of his wedding, his bride finds him lying dead under his scarlet cloak. So the Urklings are definitely more, like, yeah, like, they're woodsy goblins. But, yeah, they don't really care about humans and except for to kill them if they don't do what they want.
I love it.
And to scare children into not going into the woods. Yeah. Urkling also, I know I keep bringing up Harry Potter, but Urkling also comes into J.K. Rowling's
who we kind of hate now, unfortunately, but the work, you know, we'll mention it here. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. There's a creature called Urkling, which is very similar to Earl King. And yeah, so there's J.K. Rowling uses a lot of, you know, European folklore when naming and looking at the creatures in her books. And then the last one I'm going to talk about is called Atrazgu. And this one is actually from northern Spain and Portuguese, in Portugal. Oh, I forgot to say this. The Earl King was from Germany. Okay. So the Trasgu, this one is another domestic goblin. So one that lives in houses. Also mischievous, but kind of also nervous. Mm-hmm. So represented by a little man who limps with his right leg, which I don't know. That seems very specific for all one type of goblin, but, you know, it's fine.
I love the limping image.
They all limp on the right leg. Unclear why. He has darker skin, wears red clothes and a pointy red hat. He has a hole in his left hand. Don't know why. Not sure. Unclear.
To put a little cane in?
Maybe. Or the broom so he could sweep. Yeah. I don't know. And that's the more traditional one. There's other versions of the Trasgu where he has like horns or little like animal ears and like a little bit more animal-esque. But yeah, so nighttime spooky noises are attributed to him. So when you hear like bumps and creaks in the night, they would say that's the Trasgu. They'd also, Trasgu would like to do small pranks in the middle of the night. So like moving, you know, moving something from one room to the other, trying to trick people, basically. And he enters homes when everyone's asleep. If he's in a bad mood, he'll break stuff. So he'll be like, I'm going to break this coffee mug. I'm going to do this. I'm going to spill water everywhere. And he'll kind of like cause a ruckus. And if he's treated well, so like, I don't know how you would do that. I don't know how you let the Trasgu know he's welcome. But if he's treated well, instead of breaking stuff, he'll do household chores during the night. So it's very nice.
I feel like some of these, I'm like, that probably is like a, I don't know, like a helpful, if something breaks, you're just like, oh,
yeah,
it's the Trasgu. The goblin. Yeah, the Trasgu. Yeah,
it's just the family goblin. Yeah. Yeah, and then so if you have a bad Trasgu and you want to get rid of him, and I feel like we've seen things like this with a lot of different folklore creatures, but the way to get rid of him is to request an impossible task. So bringing a basket of water from the sea, picking up little pieces of things off the floor, which falls through the hole in his hand. Oh. Sad. The whitening of a black sheep, which I'm like, what? But yeah, just like things that he literally can't physically do. And when he can't do it, on. Yeah, he'll basically get, he'll try because he's very stubborn, and then he'll eventually become exhausted, and then he'll be embarrassed, and then he'll leave and not return. So you have to embarrass him, basically, which is not nice, but you know.
I was like, is that how you get rid of me at social situations too?
Yeah, I just embarrass you, and then you leave, and I'm like, great.
Got rid of her.
Now we can all go home. But yeah, so that's basically it. So those are four different types of European goblins. I'll post little pictures of each one. But yeah, they're all, a lot of them mischievous. Some are violent, but they're all small.
So at least, well, no, I was going to say at least you can punt them, but you can't because
some of them, they are, what's not oblivious, what's the word?
Impervious to human strength.
Impervious to human strength. Good word, impervious. Very nice.
I don't know if
they're
that's
oblivious
what you said.
To human strength.
That's me.
Oblivious. Yeah, I'm just oblivious. But yeah, that's our episode this week. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, I loved hearing all about those different kinds of goblins. And I feel like there's probably even more that we could go into in the future. But amazing. Absolutely. Thank you all for listening. We hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
Bye.